the team, but barely. And so consequently, most of the season, he only played when somebody was hurt, or he would play a couple minutes in a game just as a reliever. Well, his season was spent mostly on the bench, and like I say, near the end of the season, they were having a game, and it just so happened that the day before the game, this young man's father died. The day of the game, he showed up fully dressed. The coach was shocked that he was there. On the field, the team was getting decimated. They were losing very, very badly. And the kid kept saying to the coach, please put me in, please put me in. Well, the coach, wanting to salvage the game, wanting to win it, didn't want to put him in because he needed his best players. Well, it got to the fourth quarter of the game, and the team was so far behind, the coach thought there's no way possibly of winning, so he let this kid go in. The kid got on the field, and he was electric. And like somebody plugged him in, and he had a boost of energy or power or something. Every play he had, it was amazing. On defense, he turned the game around. He was intercepting. He was running. They put him in offense. He was making yardage. He inspired the whole team with his unbelievable activity. The game turned around, and they end up winning. It was such a phenomenal turnaround. They grabbed this kid, who had been kind of a loser the rest of the season. They hoisted him on their shoulders and carried him around the field and carried him off. They got into the dressing room, and the coach said to him, I don't understand this. Not only have you never played like this in your entire life, but wasn't it just yesterday that your father died? Aren't you grieving? And the young man said, Coach, you don't understand. That's exactly why I played like I did today. You see, my father was blind. And today was the first time he's ever seen me play. Dear friends, in a similar sense, you and I are surrounded by a host of witnesses. Just as that young man was running in his race on the field, realizing that for the first time his physical father could see him, so you and I have a host of spiritual witnesses in the grandstands of life, in the grandstands of heaven, looking down and watching us run our race of faith. And what are they saying to us, if they could? What would they be shouting? Like football players on a field or Olympians running a race, you and I do so before that eternal crowd. And there are millions in those grandstands. Perhaps some of your family members are there. They're all around us and they're cheering us on with encouragement. Now, these aren't like your modern-day spectators, you know, overweight and putting in the popcorn and the hot dogs and everything while the people on the field are doing all the exercise. No. The fans that we're talking about here are ones who've already played the game. They've already run the race. They've already won. They know exactly what the race is all about. And they know that it can be discouraging. They know that there are times when you want to quit. They know when the pain and the strain is too intense. They know when the opposition seems too fierce, and they know when the goal seems too distant. They've been through it all. Yet it is these people who are witnesses to us. These are the ones who are cheering us on. And if you go back to Hebrews 11, we know some of them who are in the grandstands. And Abraham is up there, and he yells to us, don't get too comfortable down here. Go where God wants you to go. Give up whatever He asks, because God always gives more than He takes. Noah's up there, and he shouts, if you want to avoid being all washed up in life, don't worry about ridicule and scorn. Believe God, obey Him. Even if it takes 120 years for Him to fulfill His promise, hang on, because He will do what He said. His word always comes to pass. Sarah's up there, you know, the oldest lady in the Young Mother's Club. She says, she would shout out to us, don't limit God with scientific and medical impossibilities. Nothing is impossible with God. Moses is up there too. Can you hear his voice this morning? He calls out to us, don't get sucked in with all those worldly power and possessions and pleasures. Choose rather to identify with God's people. There's Gideon up there, and he says, don't trust in numbers. Don't trust in money. Don't trust in power. Trust in God. God is able to bring you through to victory. And then there's a whole section up there. They're dressed in glorious white robes. They're the martyr section. And they're doing the wave. And they're up there, and they're saying, yield it up, lay it down, God will give a glorious crown. Can you hear them? Yield it up, lay it down, God will give a glorious crown. And their echo seems to waft through as we pick up the theme and realize they know something that we need to hear. All of these people ran the race before us and they won. And they want us to join them in the winner's circle. There are others with them in the grandstand. Saints from all the ages, like I said, perhaps even some of your loved ones. And they're shouting and cheering to you this morning, go for God's gold. Run with all your might. You can do it. God will help you. All those saints in the stands knew that faith was a struggle. They knew that there was a tension between believing God and trusting what the world seemed to be saying. But their lives would tell us this morning to let go of all of the encumbrances. You don't see any Olympian athlete running with weights on his legs. They throw off everything that hinders. They strip down to the point where some of the nations I heard were upset that their women athletes were running with so little on. But they do that for a purpose. They don't want any wind resistance. Swimmers will shave their heads so even the hair on their head will not limit their pursuit of the gold medal. They take off absolutely everything so it will not limit them from pursuing their prize. They strip down of the essentials. Christian, what is it that is hindering you from going all out for Jesus? What is it that keeps you back from going for God's gold? Now, you know, many things in life are not necessarily bad in and of themselves. It's just kind of like extra baggage we take on a journey. At the beginning, you think you're going to need it, but halfway into the journey, when you're lugging it around the airport, you say, why did I bring all this stuff? How much of life is made up with extra baggage? You know, this past spring, a number of families were packing out of here, and I popped in on a family just the night they were leaving. And it was about 3-4 hours before their flight, and they still had lots of packing to do. And they were jamming stuff in boxes and suitcases, sweat rolling down their brow. They were really ratty with each other. Their nerves were on edge. We had a quick prayer, and I left there, you know, and I said to my wife, I said, you know, honey, I think our Sudanese brothers and sisters have something on us. Many of our refugee families, refugee people come here with nothing. They live with almost nothing. But you know what? If God called them to go, they could be up and gone in a minute. They don't have stuff to worry about. And I wonder how much stuff, good in and of itself, not necessarily evil, but how much stuff is like weights on our life that keeps us from running with perseverance the race that God has marked out for us. How much of stuff in life is encumbrances? It keeps us from doing what God has called us to do. Just wonder. You can keep them. You can hang on to all that stuff. You can keep all those things around you if you want a nice stroll in the park. But dear friends, if you want to run the race and win the prize, sometimes it means getting rid of all the encumbrances. Another major encumbrance is the sin that so easily entangles. Now, we've all got our spiritual Achilles heel. You know that area in your life that Satan keeps shooting his darts at? That area of weakness that has been there for so long and you just wish to God that you could get victory once and forever over it, but Satan just keeps nagging, he keeps biting, he keeps shooting, he keeps kicking, he keeps getting you down. What is it for you? Envy? Fear? Lust? Pride? Gossip? Substance abuse? Theft? Dishonesty? Unbelief? Resentment? Dear friends, you know as well as I do, these things are like ropes around our legs. They keep tripping us up and we wonder why we can't run. And while we're contemplating that, we hear the voice from from the stands. It's Samson. And he hollers out to us above the crowd, "Don't compromise! Sin will always seduce you. It's deadly. Get rid of it before it gets rid of you." You know as well as I do, there will always be lots to discourage us in the race, lots to trip us up, lots to make us feel like we're not going to make it. But just when we feel like stopping, we hear the voice of that whole crowd of saints. They shout in unison, "Run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Keep on keeping on. Go for it. Because when you cross that finish line, you will be forever grateful." Do you hear them this morning? Do you hear them? They're calling out to you. The key to this passage is the exhortation tucked in the middle of it. I call it the faith fix. Now, you know, different athletes take a fix or take certain drugs or things to boost their energy. Some are disqualified when they're discovered with steroids in their blood or with other strength-enhancing enablers. One of the things people were trying to do to get around that was the blood boost. Have you heard of that? It's where they would, athletes would actually extract some of their own blood, just little bits, over time, and they would keep it. And then just before the event, they would put their own blood back into them. And the extra blood in their system, their own blood, would give a boost of energy and enable them to carry on. Now that apparently was not illegal, because it's their own blood. Now, some fixes are illegal and some seem to be okay. Well, if I could offer you a fix this morning that would enable you to run with perseverance your race of faith and guarantee you to win, how many of you would want to take that fix? Perfectly legal. As a matter of fact, God even offers it to you. Anybody want the fix? Okay, well, let's look at it. In verse 3, he says, or pardon me, right in the middle, he says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Now, I realize I'm playing with the word fix. I trust you'll give me some latitude there. The faith fix. In faith, as in all sports, where you look determines your success. Now, I grew up in cold Canada, in the prairies, where we didn't have much to do except play in the snow. We used to tease, we had two seasons where I came from, winter and July. And we had a long, long winter. It wasn't quite that bad, but we learned to play hockey. I mean, hockey was, I don't know what it's like, soccer for you Africans. You just, everything's soccer. You see them playing all over, even in Egypt here. But for us, it was hockey. Now, I learned one thing very quickly in my early hockey career. And that is that when you're playing hockey, the first thing, you know, you got to try and get that little piece of rubber on your stick. And that's quite a task, you know, trying to first stand up and skates on ice. That's quite a task. But once you get that, then you got to keep this rubber puck on your stick. Well, it takes quite a bit to learn that. And so you're watching the puck and watching the stick, you know, and as you're trying to make your way around the ice. Well, that's okay if you're playing alone. But when you're playing with other teams who want to take that puck away from you and who want to stop you in your tracks, guess what they do? They run into you. And I learned very quickly that if you have your eyes on the puck while you're going down the ice, boom, you get knocked on your can. Well, I spent a lot of time on my can. I spent a lot of time on my back end until I realized that if I was going to play hockey, I had to lift my eyes from the puck, lift my eyes from the stick, lift my eyes from the skates, lift my eyes from the ice. I had to lift my eyes and look ahead to the goal. Now, it's quite a task trying to stick handle looking for the goal. It takes practice. But, dear friends, it's the key to hockey. It's like that whether you play soccer, whether you play hockey, or whether you play some other sport. Where you look determines your success. And so it is in our journey of faith. So often we end up looking at the wrong things and we wonder why we're knocked on our can. We wonder why we're flat on our face. We wonder why we've lost again. The faith fix, dear friends, is simply this. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So many Christians around the world have been knocked over and sidetracked because they were looking at other people or worrying about what other people thought. Some people look at the pastor, or we look at saints, or we look at other godly people or Christians who've gone on before us or who are supposed to be leading the way. And that may be okay in a sense because Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Hopefully we've got some good examples around. But there's a tender issue here. If we look too much at that as opposed to looking at Christ, it can be devastating for us because every single human being will fail you. Everyone will. If you look to me or to someone else as the model of your faith, if you set your sights on that, dear friends, you will be disappointed. I guarantee you. I tell you that up front. My mother had to learn this lesson the hard way. One of the pastors, the pastor who led her to the Lord, she kind of set up as a model Christian in her mind and her heart, and this man was instrumental in helping her learn the Word of God, helping her get to know the Lord. Well, this man had a moral failure in his life. Absolutely devastated my mom. Set her back so far, she thought she'd never come out of it. Well, she just recovered from that, and then another pastor God brought into her life to help her in her spiritual journey, and that guy did something wrong. It wasn't of the same nature, but he did something that upset her, and again she took a tumble spiritually. And it was only after the second round that she realized, what am I doing looking at these men for? I need to fix my eyes on Jesus. Now, she still gets spiritual help from people, as we all need to do, but her focus was not on people. Her focus was on Christ. Dear friends, I've learned one thing over my pastoral ministry, and that is this. Those people who keep their eyes fixed on Jesus are the ones who run and win. And those who look elsewhere always stumble. Do you hear it? It's the faith fix. Some look at the church. Don't do it. The church will let you down. Some look at other things, other religious paraphernalia. Looking at other things or even looking at ourselves is always dangerous. Have you ever tried running while watching your feet? If you never tried it, go try it this afternoon. But don't blame me for the results. You watch your feet while you're running, you'll bump into something, you'll trip, you'll fall over. You can't do it. You got to watch where you're going. We need to get our eyes off of everything, dear friends, everything, and fix them on Jesus. Kalos. That means lock him in your view. Refuse to gaze on anything else. Run with your focus straight ahead on him absolutely. Why? Because our text tells us that he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one in whom it begins. He is the one in whom it ends. He is the one who completes the process. He is the one who is driving our faith. He is the one who completes it. He is the one who is working in you this morning as you hear these words to perfect your faith. He is the author. He is the perfecter. So look at him. Focus on him. Give him your all. In the ancient Isthmian games of Greece, a pedestal stood at the finish line of the race, and on it hung a wreath, the winner's prize. With that imagery we read here, Jesus looked ahead to his prize, who for the joy set before him. He looked ahead and saw joy at the end of the race. And so he was able to run through that tangled maze of pain and persecution and poverty and death because he had his eyes fixed on the prize. At the end of our race, dear friends, is a prize far greater than joy. It includes joy, but it's far greater than joy because It is the one out of whom joy flows. It's more beautiful, more joyous, more beneficial, more glorious than all the trophies of the world put together. Our prize is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. To see Him, to know Him, to experience Him in all of His glory, that's what this journey is all about. Can you see it hanging at the end of the race? Do you want the prize? Then let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Let's sing that together.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
What is it this morning that you need to turn your eyes from in order to fix them on Jesus? What is it that you need to let go of in order to grab onto Him? What is it that you need to run away from in order to run toward Him? What is it that you need to give up in order to claim Him as your prize? In your heart this morning, will you let go of that? Will you turn from it? Will you abandon it? As we sing again and as you say in your spirit to the Lord, Lord, I'm turning to You. I'm going to make my fix none other than Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Father, we believe that You're doing work in each of our hearts this morning. And You know how, just like athletes, we need training, we need discipline, we need reminders that the prize is worth the effort. And Lord, we thank You that Your Word provides that for us. We ask, Lord, this morning that Your Spirit will enable us now to do what our hearts long to do. We want to run, Lord. We want to win. We want to know You in all Your fullness. And we ask that Your Spirit will enable us to do just that, to the glory of Christ. We look forward to the day we will see You, Lord. Your Word says that when we see You, we will be like You, for we will see You as You are. And until that day, Lord, enable us to run with perseverance the race marked for us. In Jesus' name, amen.